Well, it's been a year of change for the arts community here in Hawaii, and it's not even the middle of September yet. More could be on the way. Our arts and culture reporter, Noe Tanigawa, is here with more about that.
I know. There's been so much happening. Well, everybody's kind of tuned into what's up at the Honolulu Museum of Art right now. You know, they've got a director's search happening. They're finishing up the final interviews this week.
Wow.
And so they're pretty much on target, plan to hire a new director before the end of this year. Now, you know also that they're trying to sell Spalding House. They're still on track to close that before the end of the year, but they haven't chosen a realtor yet. The first of three kind of Aloha Spalding House events is coming up tomorrow. Mm-hmm. And they'll be continuing through October, November. The new chief curator is a search that's going to be really important to us, you know, arts lovers in town. That will not happen until the new director's in place. And I didn't get word on the status of a curator for the Arts of Hawaii, which Hei Aloha Johnston has just left that post. And I don't know what's going to be happening with that yet.
Mm-hmm. A lot of movement that is, you termed it, the arts infrastructure, really, here in Hawaii. And that's an interesting way to look at that.
It is. And the change is not just at the top, Bill. There are 16 staff openings right now at the Honolulu Museum.
Wow.
And we're talking really choice jobs, you would think. Events manager, corporate relations manager, public programs coordinator, youth programs coordinator. I mean, there's a lot of stuff there. And these are jobs in the arts we're talking about. Well, there have been a few available in Honolulu, and they've been filled, too. We've got a new director just in to do the three UH Manoa art galleries. This is Micah Pollux, just moved here from Brooklyn, where she had a gallery up until last year. She'll be shepherding those galleries up at UH Manoa. KCC's Koa Gallery has a new director coming up. His name is Drew Broderick. I've got a lot of hopes there. And Peggy Hopper, as you know, closed her signature gallery there in Chinatown. We talked with her.
A real shift, I mean, for all of this to be going on in a short period of time. It's really, I mean, end of an era, passing of an era seems to be an overused phrase in a lot of places, but
in Peggy's case, it really is that.
Yeah.
That so, but you know, with Mark's Garage now, that's right across Peggy Hopper's gallery, right on the corner there of Pauahi and Nu'uanu, and it has been a hub, you know, since it opened in 2001. Things are shifting there too. And I've just spoken with Donna Blanchard, who's the advisor to the Arts at Mark's board, and a new board member there, art photographer Kim Taylor Reese, who said he stepped up because this is a crucial moment there at the Arts at Mark's.
We're kind of an emergency. I mean, we don't know if we'll last 6 months or 9 months down the road if we don't.
If we don't get the support.
Are you sure?
Months away.
Really?
Yeah.
Why, what could happen?
It'd just have to shut down. It'd be an empty building.
Well, you never mentioned that before.
We're looking at it very realistically to say we can't continue to this hand-to-mouth thing.
That's Reese and Blanchard kind of having an intervention for us here.
Boy, but that's quite something to just put that out, that because, again, as you have pointed out, over time, They've had financial issues and challenges, certainly.
Well, they have, and they were left with an $82,000 debt a little over a year and a half ago. They've whittled that down to just over $25,000. So being able to do that in a year and a half's time is amazing for a small arts organization like that. But they're looking ahead and thinking, hey, we've been scrambling, and you know, what's the purpose, really, of keeping this up? They're really doing some soul searching, and they're inviting us to join in on that. They serve about 45,000 people a year. They've got so many things going on, and maybe it's the diverse organizations, everything from UH Scientists to the Watercolor Society to Maoli Arts, all found a home there. And maybe, really, they've got to take a look at the diversity of offerings, and the diverse audiences have got to say, we need to take some responsibility for a space that can be this inclusive. Melissa White, she's an urban planner, Bill. She works in Chinatown, and she's the new board chair for the Arts at Mark's.
Chinatown is one of the places that will always be really authentic. If nothing else, it's going to be authentic because it's not like other areas of town that are owned by a large landowner and that can be redeveloped on a wholesale basis. There's a patchwork of landowners. There's a lot of cultural uses and influences and multiculturalism, which is what makes it really cool. And, you know, the grit of Chinatown is part of its identity, and I think it always will be. But that is not uncharacteristic of artistic neighborhoods everywhere, and it's part of what helps them keep them affordable. The safety thing is something that needs to be addressed, the perception that people are not feeling safe. That's not something that can't be overcome, as we've seen from the success of First Fridays. Frankly, you know, I see a lot of potential in the transformation that's happening. You know, the ASB headquarters was built.
Well, what's talking about, American Savings Bank's move there to across Ala Park. You know, there's 600 people in that building every day, and they have not put in a cafeteria. They have deliberately encouraged people to fan out in the neighborhood, and really, that kind of activity is what Chinatown needs. You live right in downtown, Bill.
Yeah, exactly. And I've heard for many years, certainly a decade or more now, about the transition, transformation, and it moves in fits and starts. And it's from area to area, even within a few blocks, there's quite the differences. And you've done a lot of reporting on this as well. But really, that idea of the arts community being at the heart of that can be a powerful agent of transformation.
It can be, and this is another moment, Bill, where we're saying let's do a little visioning here, okay? Think about downtown Honolulu. Think about Honolulu Harbor. The Peace Boat is there right now. It just happens. We still have cruise ships coming in there. There's HPU, a university campus that spreads all the way down to Aloha Tower. Satellite City Hall just opened there at Chinatown Gateway Plaza, there at the corner of Hotel and Nu'uanu. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's going to bring a lot of people out from underneath Fort Street Mall, you know, up to, Chinatown. There's going to be a rail station at Keikaleke Mall. The whole point is activity is what we need. So friends of the Arts at Marks say, why not join their 1,000 Friends group at $10 a month? You can get a digital portrait by Kim Taylor Reese for that now. They've got an Arts Aid concert series kicking off this Sunday, 7 p.m. fundraiser featuring Barry Flanagan of Hapa and Eric Gillian from Maui. And Melissa White is holding a community talk story about the future of arts in Chinatown September 27th at the Arts at Marks.
Good to get a little vision of that, too, in terms of how that goes from here at what is truly a time of transition within the arts community and within the infrastructure.
Exactly. And Arts at Marks is a hub. So is the State Foundation on Culture and the Arts. And tomorrow's story will be about some changes going on there.
Thanks, Noe. Noe Tanigawa, she covers, as you know, arts and culture here at Hawaii Public Radio. And as I bet you know as well, you can find her stories online at hawaiipublicradio.org.